I'm here on a job site with Tim, who owns his own electrical contracting business.
3 employees and 2 work trucks.
Tim traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance. We're positively here where he needs us most.
They sure are.
With step-by-step help on all his insurance needs, all for shockingly low rates.
Shockingly low, huh?
Just a little bit of electrician humour. Do you get it?
I got it.
You know, it feels like we have a real connection. All right, I'll stop.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we look back on transfer deadline day. Celtic bring in Jeffrey Schlupp, but no striker to replace Kyogo, with Brendan Rodgers admitting the squad is light. No late business for Rangers, who just look ahead to the pre-contract of Lyle Cameron. Scott Arfield's back at Falkirk. Aberdeen add a new striker as Duke leaves. Harry Milne goes from Partick Thistle to Hearts. That were just some of the pieces of business done on deadline day. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you have Marvin Bartley and Gordon DL. We didn't manage to sell you during the window.
Well, it would have been the biggest deal, I think, in the window. I was a bit surprised, Gordon. Sat up to 11 o'clock, listened to the show last night to see or hear of anything really that's going to interest me. I think Celtic fans will be a bit disappointed. I think they were looking at someone to come in and help Ida and Maeda, who are going to be the probably first choice centre forwards after the departure of Kyogo. Rangers pre-contract Cameron. I think that's a very, very good sign. I think he's a terrific young player. Mother will bring in their 25th goalkeeper. So we'll have a clean sheet next time we play. But I was surprisingly quiet, and I'm sure we're going to get a few phone calls tonight with some Celtic fans a little bit frustrated.
Yeah, I think it was extremely slow. I agree. I think, you know, that all Premier League teams outside of Aberdeen, I thought Hibs might have done a bit of business as well, but it didn't. Just a few players getting kind of paid off. But yeah, listen, it's one of those things. The January window is always difficult to do business. It's always a seller's market. But yeah, I did expect, you know, with Celtic losing such a big player in Kyogo, that they would replace him, but they didn't manage to.
0141 951 1025. How would you rate your transfer window to fans of all teams? You could even mark it out of 10 if it's a nice simple way of doing it. If you'd rather just come on and describe the ins and outs, then do that with us. But 0141 951 1025, how do you rate your transfer window? More specifically, of course, Celtic fans, what's happening with the striker situation? Are you comfortable? Adam Ida, maybe backed up by Daizen Maeda, or did you need more? A really interesting press conference with Brendan Rodgers today. It was about 20 minutes long. The vast, vast majority of that was taken up speaking about the transfer window. He wasn't outwardly angry, he wasn't outwardly critical, but he admitted he wanted a striker in and now says the squad is light. So what do you think? Give us all your thoughts on it, Celtic fans. Is it about taking the foot off the gas in the title race? Are you underprepared for Bayern Munich? Or is everything actually fine? Because it would be tough to beat Munich anyway, and you think the league's won. I've seen all these theories doing the rounds today. So Jeffrey Schlupp in, no replacement directly for Kyogo. How would you rate your window out of 10, Celtic fans? Same question to fans of all teams though. Rangers fans, we almost got the impression that you knew what you were getting yourself in for, because for a couple of weeks now we heard it was going to be one, maybe two. You got your one plus your pre-contract. Were you still expecting something later on? Was there maybe part of you that was holding out hope that something else would be done? How would you rate your window out of 10? And loads of other interesting ways of looking at this. Not hundreds of deals, but Scott Arfield back to Falkirk. That's an interesting move. Always been a favourite of Gordon DL's. We thought Aberdeen had to do something to try and arrest this slide that they're on. Duke has gone out the door. They've signed a new striker. Hearts have strengthened. Motherwell, as Gordon alluded to, just can't get over the injuries because they're signing goalkeepers in the window and then signing more goalkeepers at the end of the window because the last goalkeeper got injured. So give us all your thoughts, please, on 0141 951 1025. How would you rate your window out of 10? Is it just slowing down generally, Marvin? You know, it used to be a big thing, and even down south, you know, it was sort of this blockbuster. Yeah. We always knew we couldn't spend the same sort of money, But I don't really get the impression it's as busy anywhere as it was previously.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. Like you said, down south as well, it was extremely quiet for the financial fair play rules and everything else. And yeah, like you said, I think it is slowing down. It becomes quite an expensive kind of market for buying teams. I.e., if we talk about Celtic, you sell Kyogo for £10 million. Every other team know that you're desperate now for a striker to come and compete with Ida. They're going to put another £2 million, £3 million on their player. Especially if it being the last, you know, last minutes of the window, they're going to need to go and replace them as well. So, yeah, it is beginning to slow down, definitely.
Yeah, sometimes you can get that player that just fits the club. I think you've got to be careful. I know Celtic fans will be really frustrated, and I totally understand that. I think the manager will be a bit frustrated, but he's obviously keeping his powder dry. But I do believe that Celtic, as a club, probably tried to get the right person in at the right price. Now, you can go all the rumours, well, they've got so much in the bank, they should have went an extra couple of million here and there. Doesn't work like that. Of course it doesn't. You look at how long it took Ida to come in the building after a great loan spell in the summer. So transfers don't get just done in a couple of days or a week. I know Celtic should have been preparing because they knew Kyogo was out.
Well, that's the bit that's sticking in the throat.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest bit about it. Domestically, Celtic have still got enough with their strikers. You know, there's got to be games there that young Kenny could probably come on off the bench. You get Maeda, who showed at the weekend he can play on the wing, he can play through the middle, he's effective, he was brilliant, set up the three, to score one, set up the other two goals. Ida is starting to score goals and show the potential he's got. You've just got to keep your fingers crossed for these guys that they stay fit.
Well, that's it. If Adam Ida gets injured, the picture changes quite drastically,
doesn't it? Of course it does. And that's the biggest problem. Other teams, as you say, Motherwell, look, we feel sorry sometimes about Rangers and Celtic getting players in. Motherwell are having to bring about 10 goalkeepers just to try and get a goalkeeper. You know, the amount of injuries they've got, they've got, what, 10, 11 centre-forwards?
33 players
Motherwell have got. And it's because of the fact, and all credit to them, all credit to the board, because they recognise the fact of the injuries to the key players, the first-team players, and big players that Motherwell can't do without. So, look, fans are happy and then sometimes they're not too happy with their business.
Right, 01419511025. James in Hamilton's going to kick us off. James, could you offer a mark out of 10 for Celtic's transfer window?
I would say about maybe 2.5.
Oof, as low as that. Tell us why.
It's not. I would say like maybe Kieran Tierney, that's a great player to come in this summer. I didn't think we would get him in. I didn't think Arsenal, he's been featuring off the bench for them, so I didn't really think we'd get him in January. Klopp, I seen him when he was obviously playing in Leicester when the title with him, but he looks decent enough. He's not really played much at Palace, so again, he's another player probably just back off the league tier, but the board seem to do this all the time. They promise players, they're linked to players, and really done.
James, the line's a wee bit ropey, so let's see if we can get that cleared up. We've got the gist of it. I mean, he said 2.5, was it? 2.5 out of 10, so it's a pretty low mark. Too low for you, or?
Yeah, you can't bring in Jota during the transfer window.
You got 2.5. You got 10 for that,
yeah,
all right?
Yeah,
alone.
It can't be a 2.5. I get his point, he'll be disappointed about Kyogo and, you know, not replacing him with another striker. But there's no chance he can bring Jota back. You know, after what he did last time, even coming on the other day against your beloved Motherwell and, you know, showing instantly what he's about. Yeah, it's got to be a lot higher than that.
It's clearly just about the striker, though, isn't it? I'm getting James to elaborate again when he comes back, because he's right. I don't think you'll get many grumbles about Jeffrey Schlupp. He's there to be involved with Greg Taylor, probably back up to Greg Taylor. He's got plenty of English Premier League experience. I think Brendan Rodgers today said something like he's got Premier League level physicality. So that one seems like a no-brainer, because Kieran Tierney's coming in the summer, doesn't it? So that's fine. I don't think we'll get any grumbles about that one, will we?
No, not at all. I think the Celtic fans were desperate to get him in just now, but unfortunately because of the situation with Arsenal, that's not going to happen. But it's a great signing for him this summer. I 2.5. I think the transfer market's been very good. Tierney coming back and Jota back in, and look at the impact at the weekend. They're one player short. Right, they've left themselves one player short.
Quite a big one, though.
Could you go?
Because I'm now comparing words and numbers. 2.5 versus very good. If you lose your star striker and don't bring in any other striker, can the window be considered very good? I take the point about Jota. Mm-hmm. Even Kyogo's a great piece of business in isolation, and Tierney's coming back. But I wonder how that could possibly, any team in the world, take the colour of jerseys out of it and all the emotion that goes in this city. If any team lets their number one striker go and doesn't bring any other striker in, can that window be described as very good, as you just did?
Yes, I think it can.
Seriously?
Yeah, because I think, right, does people...
I think Brendan Rodgers thinks it's been very good.
I think, listen, Brendan Rodgers is a top manager who wants top players in all the time. You go to the summer and Brendan Rodgers will be wanting more players,
yeah, but
more
this
players.
Is the point. This is not just about wanting that one more. This is about wanting to replace the striker,
right,
that left.
Yeah, but you've got to look at the overall picture. I totally agree that for in a perfect world, a centre-forward coming in to replace Jota is brilliant for them. But if you look at the club and you look at the players and you look at the money they've spent, and people say, oh, what we recruited. But their business has been brilliant, right? Lately, their business has been very, very good. Kyogo made it clear that he wanted to leave. It wasn't Celtic's decision to let Kyogo go. 10 million in,
yeah, he had
the Jota, right, the Jota and everything. Look, they're sitting there just now with a squad that's millions, right? Internationals, great players. They've got three centre forwards. They've got Ida, Majedic can play there, centre forward, he's played there with his country, and they've got the young backup in Kenny. So domestically, from now to the end of the season, as much as it is disappointing, they can handle that.
So is it disappointing or is it very good?
Well, everybody wants more strikers. Of course you do, because Kyle goes in.
More, they just want the same amount as they had before.
Well, it's like right, everybody's excited that Tierney's coming back, right?
Mm-hmm.
Tierney's coming back in the summer. So they'll probably add another striker in the summer. What I'm saying is, it's not a disaster. It's not what Celtic fans are thinking. I don't know if Marv agrees. No. You know what I mean? You've got a £9 million striker in there that's been waiting for his chance. So all of a sudden, the pecking order just goes up.
I think the Celtic fans who are phoning in feel like there's a big gap between disaster, nobody said it's a disaster, miles away from a disaster, and very good, as you call it. A lot of ground in between those two phrases.
Right. See, personally, I think Celtic's had I'll go just above good transfer.
So we've come down from very good.
No,
I've pulled you down.
I'm up
what
there.
Number are you giving it?
I'll give it an 8 out of 10.
Wow. Barry.
Would you?
Yeah, no, I agree. Bringing in Jota, I just don't understand how it can be...
With Tierney coming in as well.
Yeah.
They've covered the left-back position, and everybody's on about Kyogo. But, yes, Ida's there. That's why they paid the 9... That's why they waited. Maeda can play there. You've got young Kenny that people are on here screaming for.
Well, he was meant to go to St Mirren. He's
right,
only not going to St Mirren because
right,
Celtic didn't bring another striker.
To get an opportunity. He might get the opportunity and show everybody what he can do.
Barry, it's very good. It's an 8 out of 10 according to Gordon DL. What number would you put on it?
Well, good evening team, Gordon and Marv. The way I would put this transfer window, it leaves a lot to be desired, and it's a no for me, because when you're going for a signing, Brendan would have in his head, right, if we don't get this guy, then we'll go for the next one. It's like a backup plan for a backup plan when you're going for signings. And we could go out. We're obviously weaker than the way we went into this transfer window. I've been watching podcasters all day, the Celtic networks and that, and they share the same opinion as me. It's just, it leaves a lot to be desired, a lack of ambition. And with the team, they're banking on Maida being the striker because he plays as a striker. And, nah, it's just...
What sort of number out of 10 would you give it?
Well, the only shining light out of you is Jota come back. That's the only thing. But other than, if you take Jota out of the equation, it's a 2 for me.
But if you take Kyogo out of the equation, you'll be back up to an 8. Keep them. See, the problem with Kyogo is quite simple, right? What's the point of having somebody that's not got a bit? So you're not worse off because you've moved a player on that doesn't want to beat your club. Right, as much as
he is a top
striker,
in the nicest way possible,
he does not want to be there.
I think the gymnastics you're performing here are admirable for a man of your age. I thought you'd have a lack of flexibility. you're better off without Kyogo than you would be with him.
No, no.
Come on.
Look,
come on.
Kyogo has been...
It doesn't need to be a disaster.
You're missing my point. You're missing my point, right? I'm saying Kyogo didn't want to beat Celtic. So you've got a player that doesn't want to play for you.
Yeah.
Right? Doesn't want to beat your club.
So what
is your point of keeping them to the end of the season anyway?
But if you good if you can get someone else in?
But Celtic have tried that. So you can't give Celtic... how many centre forwards were they linked with? Two or three? The deals fell through. So, yeah, they were still on the radar. They were still looking to bring people in. Jota is a class above a lot.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're looking at... You can't just have a go at the board because they didn't get a replacement for for Kyogo. They tried. It didn't work. But take the positives. And the positives are Tierney's coming back. Celtic fans singing his name not that long ago upset Brendan Rodgers. You've got Jota, who is, 25 years age, comes on the pitch and instantly you can see what he's got to give. Go ahead, back me up here.
I've just got, I've got your back, mate.
You don't sound like you've got
you're
my
wrong,
back.
Barry. He says you're wrong, Barry.
We're still in the Champions League, right? So we could go out, our main talisman is out. You would expect them to have made an amicable replacement for him. I get the fact that Kyogo didn't want to be there and they moved him on, right? We've got Jota back. However, if Ida gets injured, all we've got is Maida. And then it's, Brendan likes to have like an extra player to cover positions. But if Ida gets, if they target Ida, all we've got is Maida then. And then who's going to cover Jota? It's like mixing and matching different players all about, and it's just made up as they go along. And the board... second class, it's no first class, and there's always a drama with signings. I mean, they're banking on the fact that they think we've won the league. But if they haven't won the league, the mathematics still show that Rangers, their closest rivals in the league, could still win it. So they're still in the equation to winning the league, Rangers. And, well, need I say any more? You know, we needed an extra striker, and Gordon made the point about young Kenny or the other boy coming through. They're all right for like when the league's won and getting them a run out. No, when it comes to big games, and if that does go down.
Marvin, is it not mostly about the time? Is that the thing here? I mean, there's a very, very small, tiny shred of sense that I'm getting from your colleague over here about if Kyogo doesn't want to be there. In May, he's 30 and it was 10 million. That's what we always said at the time. If you take that in isolation, that is good. That is good business. But Brendan Rodgers, let's take his view on it then, right? Let's forget what we all think. He said he knew about this months ago. Kyogo wanted to leave months ago. He said numerous times in the last few weeks he wanted another striker in. So actually, fans like Barry are kind of just in line with the manager.
Yeah, of course the manager's always going to want to bring an extra striker in.
That's what I mean. It's not extra.
Well, bring another striker in because Kyogo's going out. So he wants to replace. Of course you're going to want to replace him. He was their best centre forward. There's no doubt about it. But I agree with what Gordon's saying. You've paid £9 million or £9.5 million for a striker in the summer to act as backup. So now what happens? Kyogo goes out of the window. At some point, he needs to play. You're going to need him to play. You can't just keep signing strikers over him. So what, you go and pay £15 million to somebody
else? Can you not sign someone to replace Adam Ida as the number two if Adam Ida becomes the number one?
But then Maeda can do that. Like you said, they've got Jota now who can play wide. So you've got another option wide. So Jota, what's Celtic's strongest team now, the front three? Well, Barry, what would you say the front three, the strongest team is now for Celtic? Who would you start with if they're all fit?
Right, so I would start with Ida. He's the main man. He deserves his position with the price tag on him. Maeda being his backup. But yeah, that's just... if Ida goes down, we've only got Maeda.
Yeah, no, but I'm saying, who would start left wing in that team then? If Ida's up front, who's left wing?
It would be Jota.
And then who's on the right?
Clearly Kun.
Yeah, he's left out Maeda.
Well, that's what I mean. So you have Maeda on the bench.
It's a nice problem to have. Yeah,
of course it is. But then you have Maeda as a number two on the bench. You have young Kenny. We're always talking about young players. We want to see them come through. You know, he's coming through the academy. We want to see him get minutes. So surely that's the perfect situation for this then to happen. There's always going to be players
that
moved on.
Is it not the disastrous scenario, I think, as Barry said? It's just if Adam Ida gets injured.
But then if Kyogo would have got injured, Adam Ida would have been there. If Adam Ida gets injured now with Barry's team, Maeda is there, who starts at front for Japan.
Maeda was there anyway, though.
But Jota wasn't there.
Yeah. Jota was
it? Yeah, exactly. So Jota wasn't there, so they still had the same amount of options in those attacking areas.
Sorry for all you Celtic fans that are annoyed. The guys have spoken. You're wrong. Keep the calls coming. 0141 951
25.
We'll take more of your calls next. Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Check out our YouTube stream now. Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Gordon DL and Marvin Bartley are here. Keep your thoughts coming. How would you rate your team's transfer window out of 10? Doesn't matter what team you support, give us your number and we'll debate it. Let's hear what Brendan Rodgers had to say on Celtic's transfer window.
Yeah, we've done some really, obviously, really good business in the window. Probably one or two things didn't quite drop for us that we would have liked. But however it ends, you know the squad you have, and fundamentally, we're here to develop the players now for the rest of the season that are here. So, listen, there's no doubt that the squad is lighter. I said clearly we wanted to do. We wanted to have that support at the top end of the field. We didn't manage to do that. It's a fair enough thing to say. You know, you can very easily say, well, you should really have someone in the door before you let him go, but there was a situation with that player which meant that wasn't the case. Yeah, 100%. I said it myself, we want another striker, so we're not hiding behind anything, and absolutely the supporters will look and see my top striker going out, legendary striker, and we haven't replaced it. So I understand that. Could we have done better? Yeah, we could. However, as I said, we work with the players that are here now, and I think that is the focus. I don't really want to be looking back. And like I said, I'm not going to become frustrated now and kill my joy of working here every day at the club by thinking of what could have been. We can't affect that now. Well, listen, I don't want to pin blame on anyone here. I think as a collective, it wasn't ideal how it ended for us. So we have to, as a club now, go away and look at that. I go out that door and I've still got the same group of players, which I'm really happy with. Players that tomorrow night we win our game in hand, we go 13 points clear, we 13 games to go. So we've won a trophy, we're in a playoff stage of the Champions League. We've had a fantastic season until this point. So I don't want to put any clouds over that there. And take a narrative which is negative. You know, it still can be a really, really positive season for this until this point. It's been outstanding. So I want to continue with that.
Michael is on the line. What do you think, Michael?
Pretty much echoing everything the manager said there. Evening, gents.
Evening.
First time caller. I pretty much agree with everything the Dazzler said. I'm a Celtic fan. I sit in a section above the standing section, 412, so I'm not the wind-up in any way. We've come out of the transfer window having get £10 million for a 30-year-old who's no really kicked the ball for 18 months. If it's Schmeichel, sign an extension. We've got a utility player up for the Premiership that can play down the left-hand side. We've got Tierney coming back over and above. We've got Jota. So Celtic fans, including myself, are very quick to slag the board at times, but we've got to remember what their operating model is. We're cash rich, and we had Chris Mackay, the finance director, saying at the start of the season that as a club we've got to operate a year ahead in case we don't get any Champions League. So we've got to keep some of that money to operate at the level that we're at. So just going out and getting a striker that could be a square peg in a round hole isn't the way that we're operating. We've got two young players who always shout about losing players to teams down south, and Cummins and Kenny. So there's our backup. The league's pretty much won. We've won the League Cup. We've qualified in Europe. There's half-season objectives already nailed. So we're going for treble. And as far as I'm concerned, the squad's strong enough to do that. Bayern Munich's a free hit next week. What do you think about that, guys?
I'm just stuck on the point where you said Kyogo's not kicked a ball for 18 months. And we have a habit of doing this when I get it. Kyogo was, for me, was unbelievable for Celtic. And we have to respect all that he'd done. And, you know, when we do lose a player, we have a habit of going back saying, oh, they weren't actually that good. He was that good. Believe me, he was that good. Having, you know, played against him and having, like, been an assistant manager at Livingston when we played against Celtic and watched, you know, his movement constantly, he was that good. I get what you're saying in terms of the window, and I agree with it. It's a very difficult window, as I said before, to sign players, especially a striker, especially when someone knows that you've lost your best centre forward for £10 million. They're going to want more money for their players. So, yeah, Brendan, again, he came on and he's spoken about it, and he is frustrated. And every manager's going to be frustrated. That's just the way it is. Every manager always wants more. But like he said, Celtic have had a brilliant, brilliant season up to this date. It's important they go on now and just win the league.
I was interested to see how he would play it today, Gordon. And I think the overall mood clearly is bang on, because as Michael and everyone else outlines, Celtic are in a really good position. They're having a really good season. So if Brendan Rodgers sits today, torches the full thing, says he's not getting backed, then all of a sudden you get this idea that Celtic are in crisis when they're far from it. So I get that. Having said that, I wonder if just the truth's in the middle a wee bit, because sometimes, you know, Marvin says every manager wants more, but not every manager's been as clear as he has in the last couple of weeks. I mean, he's just said it umpteen times. Even was a time during the window where he was asked about Maeda, and he said, Dyson can play there, but we still want another striker. He kept saying, we want to come out of the window stronger than we went in. You've just heard them there describe it as not ideal. So they haven't come out the window stronger than they went in.
And I can understand it. And I think where the frustration with Brendan Rodgers, remember, this is a top football manager. And I do agree. I think Celtic are having a very, very good season indeed. And they could go on to better things. Obviously, the league campaign, look where they are. Still in the Scottish Cup. Bayern Munich, you're right. But I think what frustrates them more is, if this had just been sprung on them in the last 2 weeks, I think he would sit down and accept it. I think where he's a wee bit disappointed is the fact that everybody's known inside Celtic Park about this for a few months now, right? So in his eyes, as a top manager, he's thinking we should be planning better organisation, right? We don't know what goes on inside Celtic Park. They could have went for a couple of strikers, a deal could have been nearly done. Things fall through. We've seen it 100 times for different reasons. For me, it's important, if I was Celtic, and with the money they've got, Brendan Rodgers always harps on about, it's got to be the right one, right? So there's no point going for your two or three, missing out, and then saying, we'll get a jersey filler that's got a good track record, and find yourself, nah, that's not really the player I want. Look, see, to be honest with you, Celtic are one player away for the perfect squad, aren't they? You look at, they've got talent everywhere, cover everywhere. I think Michael's right, you know, Schmeichel signing a new contract, Jota coming back, look at the impact he made, everything about it, Tierney in the summer. They're on a high there now. The only negative is they've got, maybe in their ideal world, one player short, a very important player. I'm not arguing against that. Look at other clubs. Do you know what I mean? How many managers must be sitting watching and listening to this and going, I wish they had that problem. You know, it is. But supporters are always the same, and managers are always the same. We want more and we want better.
What do you think, Michael? You've won them over. They're agreeing with every word you say.
It's not just about who's come in. You think of the cash we got for Burnaby. We've got Lagerbielka, we've got Welsh out on loan. So there's that's got to be taken into account. I don't disagree with you, Marv, but listen, my youngest daughter is the biggest Kyogo fan you can find.
Yeah.
And I say that he's not kicked a ball for 18 months compared to his first season. And there's one or two injuries, and you think he's still a big game player, but you think of the chances he's missed. So.
Yeah.
Did we get rid of him at the right time? I would think so, yes. So that's why I rate it as a 7, and I think a lot of Celtic fans should just remember where we are as a club, and we'll go and get that 10, 15, 20 million pound strike in the summer.
Yeah, I think I can't remember if it's in the clips that we've got here and amongst that long press conference today. I think Brendan Rodgers' slight concern over that is, he said the January window becomes really important when you've got Champions League qualifiers. Because how many times have we seen it? Celtic fans, maybe not all as optimistic as Michael, you feel like every time Champions League qualifiers came around, Nir Beaton played in central defence because they just couldn't quite do it in time because it is difficult. And obviously, with the way the coefficient's gone, be nice to have your striker now for that. So even if you don't think you need him right this current moment, he's then there and he's up and running when you need to get into Champions League qualifiers in the summer.
Yeah, but we're talking about playing. Your options are to play Adam Eder, who's an international, or Maeda, who's an international for Japan, who
Tell it to Brendan Rodgers. I was using his words.
Yeah, no, I get it. I mean, we're talking about Beaton and obviously, you know, going from centre midfield to centre half. You've got two international centre forwards there. You know, as I said, if they sold Maeda, how much they would get for him? Eder, they paid £9 million for. Then you've got Jota on the left-hand side. I don't think there's this massive crisis that people are talking about. I get it. Kyogo left and he was a massive, massive player. In an ideal world, would they have replaced him? Yes. But I think they prioritised getting Jota in. Jota became available and the board went and did it. You know, I don't think anyone could be against, you know, that signing coming in. I know they want, and they want another striker, but it's a weird one for me, Gordon, because I think if you look at the Celtic squad, people can argue that they're in the same place in terms of Jota's came in to replace Kyogo. I get what they mean though. With a starting 11, is a team stronger or weaker without him? For me, it's weaker.
I wonder, just going back to that, you're talking, right, would you have replacing Kyogo but not getting Jota, or Kyogo leaving and Jota coming in? You wonder.
I think people will take Jota. Be interested.
All day long, and that's why I'm saying that.
People just might want both.
Everybody's greedy, Gordon. I want more money, but unfortunately, I can't get it because Mar's taking off. but that's just the nature of life. You want everything, but sometimes you just don't get it all at the one time. You've got to be patient.
Thomas is on. How are you, Thomas?
Yeah, not bad, guys. How are you?
Not bad, Thomas. Not bad. What are you thinking?
I was actually listening to Gordon earlier on there, and he's probably in a minority when it comes to the business that Celtic's done over this window. But I'm actually 100% in agreement. You probably like that, Gordon.
I'm amazed. I did shake the big man next to me to even try and back me up for 2 minutes.
I totally agree with you. I would give it a 7 or 8 as well. When you think of the players that Celtic's got there, you've got a midfield there that can score quite freely. All of your goals don't always come from strikers, but you have got Big Adam up there, who has been disappointed since Kyogo left. He's scored 3 goals in his last 2 games, so he's doing all right. His name is basically Astor. So we've now introduced Jota, who's also got an eye for goal. We've got Kuhn on the other side that can score goals for fun. We've got McGregor that can score through outside the box. We've got Maeda running up front who frightens defences. So I honestly don't think that January is a great time to buy players. Yes, bring him in on a loan deal would maybe be an option to buy, but I think we'll be looking for a bigger striker in the summer rather than try to get one in January.
Seeing the positive as well in that, Nate, you add on, and I know the Kyogo is the argument, right, but let's go away from that a minute. You sold 2 players for £25 million. You've got them back for £8 million. Mm-hmm. And that is the best bit of business you'll ever do in a long, long time. And the quality of the 2 players you're bringing back. So somewhere, as much as Celtic fans are beating the Celtic board with a big drum because Brendan Rodgers hasn't got every player he wants and that's the standards he sets, and I'm not having a go at him, sometimes you've got to look and say, do you know what? Fair play to what we're doing here.
Do you think, I've seen this theory floated, and I guess there's absolutely no way of proving, so that's why I'll ask you hypothetically, do you think Celtic would have a striker in the building today if their lead at the top was 2 points?
Potentially, but and then I'm not sure if they'd have had Jota in the building. I think they would have. I really don't think that Celtic have an endless budget. I know people could talk about money in the bank, but you have to be sensible with that also. I really do think it was prioritising Jota to bring him back in, and the finances that took is why they didn't get another striker in. That's what I truly believe. I think they would have probably been alone that they were going for like last minute, because as I said, the premium that you have to pay for a striker at this moment in time isn't going to be worth it.
I mean, Thomas, and I guess in an ideal world, we'd like to see our teams tool up ahead of a Champions League game, I guess, and try and give it a right good go. Is this, do you see it as being, you know, Celtic could sign a few multi-million pound players and it doesn't make a dent in the Munich game? Is that sort of written off in that regard?
To be honest with you, I don't think that if Celtic had kept Kyogo or brought in a top striker, I don't see us going any further in Europe anyway. I think we've reached the limit of where we're going to be going with us. Over the 2 legs, it's I think that Bayern Munich will
will certainly put us out of the Champions League. So that's why I'm not particularly concerned. We've already, in my opinion, we go 13 points clear tomorrow if we beat Dundee. The league's wrapped up, as far as I'm concerned. We've already got the League Cup in the bag. We're still in the Scottish Cup. I think a double or a treble this season is excellent, and particularly when you think about the business that what Celtic's done. As Gordon touched on there as well, you're selling Jota for 25 million. You're bringing him back for 8, and you've sold Kyogo for 10. So I don't see his progression in Europe anyway, so I think that might be why I'm not as concerned as what I probably would have been.
Some good points well made, Thomas. Thank you very much. Let me run this past you. 325k bonus payday. Talk about a life-changing amount of money, that £325,000. Text YES to 61025. Texts are 250 plus your standard network rate. You can enter on our website for 250 or call 0330 880 4523, and the calls are charged at a standard rate. It is over 18s only, and all the rules for this Rail Network competition are on our website. Lines close 5pm on Friday. The £325,000 could be yours. It would go into your bank straight after the call. You just need to answer your phone. It could not be any simpler. Text YES to 61025. Good luck.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Head to @ClydeSSB on X now. 0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Marvin Bartley and Gordon DL are here. 0141 951 1025. We're asking you to rate your team's transfer window out of 10. Pretty simple. Give us your thoughts. We've had a wide range, I have to say. It's been all Celtic so far. We've gone from 2 to 8, which is quite a range that I did not expect. Marvin and Gordon very much feeling a bit more positive about Celtic's business than some of the first couple of callers were. A lot of that based around this notion that Daizen Maeda could play through the middle. So let's get the thoughts of Brendan Rodgers on whether that is a possibility and what his strengths are.
I actually can see a lot of more natural, instinctive striker movements that he has and how he plays the game. And I think if you track back to when he came in from Yokohama, he was playing as a striker. Was it 23 goals in something like 33 games or something? But he's a goal scorer, and he's done it in Japan, and now you see him doing it here. When I played him up front earlier in the season, when Kyogo didn't play, he scored 2. It was the most pressing and penetrating runs that we had of any striker. You know, way above Kyogo's levels of penetration running. So he's a goal scorer. He scores a header like Henrik Larsson the other day. So I don't think you can doubt he might not do some other bits that other strikers will do and be a traditional number 9. But how I ask my number 9s to play and to run and print it and set the game quickly and create space for other players, then I have absolutely no doubt that he can do that.
Yeah, high praise for Maeda. So the striker that we're going to bring in has got to be some striker to beat that. I've got to say, I don't know what you're wanting a striker for. He's just said he's better than Kyogo at a lot of things. I totally agree. I like Maeda through the middle. I think he gives centre-halves a real problem. Doesn't let them settle. I know out in the wing this season, he's been excellent, right? Mm-hmm. Let's be honest, he's been excellent. But he can go there and adapt. See, if you're a centre-half, you're hoping when the team sheet comes out, he's playing left wing because he's a nuisance. You can't even concentrate when you got the ball because you know he's got to press you. Anything you leave in behind, he's got to skin you. He's got to leave you for dead. He can finish as well. And that's why I don't think it's such a big disaster for Celtic fans that the window has closed and obviously they've missed out on a centre forward.
Jim is on the line. How are you, Jim?
Aye, I'm all right, mate. How's yourself?
Good in here. Can't complain. How would you rate the transfer window?
Well, I was just saying to your man on the phone, mate, I personally think it was an absolute disgrace because Celtic Football Club have got plenty of money in the bank. They'd done the whole of January to sign a striker because they must have known that maybe my Kyogo was going. They haven't replaced him. They brought in Jota. They bought this new guy, Sklopp, or whatever his name is. And no even heard to this guy. I totally think the Celtic Football Club have embarrassed Brendan and they've embarrassed the Celtic support by not buying anybody in the transfer window.
To be fair, just because you've not heard of Jeffrey Schlupp, doesn't, you know, he's played nearly, what, about 300 games
in the Premier League with Leicester.
English Premier League. I didn't, you know, I don't know much more to kind of, I don't want to read out his Wikipedia page, but he's played at a good level. He'll be absolutely fine, won't he?
Absolutely fine. And like you said, he's in
that's
there.
That's the
to,
Kieran Tierney one anyway.
Yeah,
isn't
of course it is. Tierney's coming in the summer. He's in there to add a bit of competition for Greg Taylor. Jota's play up there as well. We've already spoken about it. And I just don't understand how it can be a disaster. You have Jota. Like, it, for me, it makes no sense. You've got an international forward in Maeda who's going to go from the left that can play through the middle. You've got Adamida, an international striker that can go up there. And sometimes, listen, I know Adamida hasn't hit the ground running for Celtic, but I said about this in the summer. When, when you're there and you know you're the number two, it's very, very difficult at times to come in and play your game.
You know, when thinking about Brendan Rodgers describing it as lighter than we would have liked or something, just on a pure numbers game, is that what it could come down to, though? Because I'm not comparing these two ability-wise, if he can hit the heights, but it in a way... Jota's Lewis Palmer's replacement. I know what everybody's going to say, and I to reiterate in case anyone misses it, I'm not saying level wise are the same, but numbers wise, you know, that would be the way you would balance it up.
Yeah, that would be fair, but I think the difference between Jota and Palmer, that Jota expects to play week in, week out, so it's like you replace a squad player or the starting player, so something has to give somewhere. You know, you can't then bring in another starting striker and have Ida, Maeda, and this starting striker through the middle. That's not going to work. You know, Maeda wants to play
games. Brendan Rodgers thinks it would have worked, though, clearly, by listening to him.
Yeah, listen, he does. But as I said, I personally think it would have been a loan. I don't think they would have brought in a permanent player now. Honestly, I think it would have been too much of a risk during this window. So a loan player coming in, you don't mind if they have to sit on the bench because they're going back in the summer.
Because, you know, when Ange Postecoglou was, when they were flying, they had Jota, Maeda, Abada, Kyogo. You know, they find a way. These teams play a lot of games. And what we've done, you know, you've got it in this ideal scenario that if none of them get injured, but, you know, that's why you do it, is it not? Like I say, go back to that day. No one really looks back and says, oh, well, Abada never played or Maeda never played, you know.
Yeah, you can retain. But look, see the positive side of this, and you're talking, and people have been talking about this young boy. You said, Gordon, he was supposed to go to St Mirren, that deal fell through. Kenny's come back, right? He come on. We've seen a glimpse of him at, I think it was Dingwall, Ross County, come on. And fans have been shouting for this boy. The only way you're going to get an opportunity, the fact that Celtic haven't brought another striker in is a very positive for him, because there's going to be games he can come on and make an impact. There's maybe going to be a game that Brendan Rodgers see him starting. So you've got to give youth. If you're going to bring these guys in, and Celtic fans are shouting about the youth and we want to see this guy, we want to see him being, you know, tested in the first team, he would play very well, score goals, you've got to get an opportunity.
Yeah. Jim, the guys have been quite clear that they think criticism like yours is well over the top. They say, you know, you've got enough. Do you not have enough if you add Maeda to Ida and Jota?
I don't agree with the criticism there, pal. I'm a Celtic supporter and I think I'm entitled to my opinion. But I don't agree with the fact that he's right, fair enough. I brought in this one striker, but I don't think one striker is enough, because we're still fighting in all fronts, domestically and in Europe. We can go further in Europe, but I don't see us getting any further in Europe, because we didn't buy any more quality to get us to that stage.
Do you think if you still had Kyogo, you'd have gone through past Bayern Munich?
I think if we still had Kyogo, we might have had a chance, aye. Because Kyogo could have paired up with Jota up front and Maeda through the middle. I think that'd
be
a great forward win for Celtic,
yeah. Depends on the way you look at it. I mean, in TV, they would have had a better chance, wouldn't they?
Yeah, they would have had a better chance. Enough, but we're talking about playing Maeda, Kyogo and Jota, I think Jim just said. So Nicholas Kuhn's not playing all of a sudden.
Well, Maeda can't play in the first leg against Bayern Munich. He's suspended.
But in the second leg then, so he's taken Nicholas Kuhn out of the team. And this starts to create its own problems. I get what everyone's saying. Everyone wants a squad of players that, you know, you can have 3-4 players in every position. Players get unhappy very, very quickly when they go from playing all the time to bit part players. It becomes very difficult, especially for attacking players. And Gordon will tell you this, playing 60 minutes here, 15 minutes there, to get the best out of people like Kyogo, Maeda, you know, Jota. Jota's not going to come back here to say, you know, we're going to have to sit on the bench for the next 6 months.
Why don't, I'm in danger of going back to it too often, so I'll go once more. Why do you not think Brendan Rodgers was concerned about that then? He doesn't sound like he thought that would have been an issue.
because it's one of those things as a manager, you deal with that when it comes up. As I said, I think that they would have brought a loan player in. So that loan player wouldn't have necessarily been a guaranteed starter. So they'd have been in the same position. Maybe Maeda would have been his number one, Ida would have been his number two, and this guy would have been number three, and Kenny could go on loan. No one's saying that they were going to bring in Ollie Watkins, for example, to be the starting striker. It wasn't necessarily going to be a starting striker. It was another striker, another body, and which would have maybe allowed Kenny to go and get more minutes. But as Gordon said there, we're always crying out for players to have pathways. And the first opportunity that we get to see a young player given minutes here and there, we want to block it up with a lone player.
Well, Jim, we can't all agree on everything. We've gone from 2 out of 10 to 8 out of 10. Jim thinks it was an embarrassment or a disgrace or something. It would be boring if we all thought the same. Thank you to Jim and Govan. And he's right, he pays his money and he's got his thoughts on it. Let's play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Come on then, it's Beat the Pundit time. Marvin Bartley was flying high, he was doing so well, and then he got beaten last week, didn't you?
Yeah, I got the tiebreaker. It was a terrible answer from me, by the way.
It was terrible. Right, so let's play tonight. If you give us a call before 7 o'clock, you'll be in the hat. 0141 951 1025. Let's play.
Clyde One Super Scoreboards. Watch as well as listen. Check out the Clyde One Facebook page now. Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Marvin Bartley and Gordon DL are asking you to rate your team's transfer window out of 10. What a question. We've had all sorts. We've had 2, we've had 7, 8, and that's all just been Celtic. We've had some strong language used in both directions. What about the rest of you? I had a feeling that would dominate because there's been so much discussion about Kyogo and strikers and all that stuff. But what about the rest of you? What about you Rangers fans? Because generally, when you are second in this city, you want your team to sign somebody. You want to try and catch up. You want to try and improve. But I do wonder if you've already sort of thought about maybe it's, is it too late this season, planning for the future, or did you see it coming because Patrick Stewart pretty much advertised the number that would come in? Or were you still staying up till 1 minute to 11 hoping that something would be pulled out the bag last night? Give us your thoughts, please, and we'll play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, it is Beat the Pundit time. How are you feeling? You lost last week. Yeah. You are doing so well.
I know. It's an awful answer. Was it like how many players have got more than 50 caps for Scotland? Is that like 11 or something?
Absolutely.
I'm in fire.
And don't forget, Gordon DL, you've been sampling these, haven't you? You've been sampling
beautiful.
The goods. So every person who comes on Beat the Pundit tonight, not only do you get a bag of these, right? I know it sounds like a random prize. You get a box of these. Thai Sweet Chili's the one. I think that's the one you liked. Crumbs all down your chin.
To be fair, the cheese and onion ones are nice.
A
but
full box.
They're delightful.
From Scotty Brand's beetroot crisps.
Yeah. But they're mine. You. They're not
be
giving
me. There's a full box over there, and they'll be yours just for coming on Beat the Pundit tonight. Let's see who the lucky contestant is. Who's going to be only one win for the listeners last week, so hopefully we can do it. David's in Easterhouse. How's it going, David?
Wow. Not bad, mate. How are you?
Good. Have you ever played before?
I played once.
All right. Who against? Right off.
No surprise here.
Did you run him close?
Not that he beat me hands down.
Uh-huh. Oh, it happens. Mm-hmm.
The old minus two, Roger Hanna.
I was buzzing yesterday. He didn't get the 10. Delighted he got the last one.
Yeah, he messed up the 10, but he did win comfortably, even with his minus two. What was the question he messed up again?
Ross McCormack.
Ross McCormack. I was disappointed. From
it's not like him, is it?
No, I was so happy.
He's got some knowledge in that napper, isn't he? Saying that, see the size of it. Imagine that was full of pound coins.
Be loaded, man.
Heads, it will be Marvin Bartley, and tails, it will be Gordon DL. And it's tails. It's Gordon up against.
Oh, what David. You sit back? You sit back and relax.
So, David, you should know the drill. David, you've got 30 seconds. You just answer as many as you can, and you pass if you don't know the answer. Okay.
Perfect.
Right, 30 seconds on the clock, and your time starts now. What squad number does Jota now have at Celtic?
7.
Hamilton captain Scott Martin joined which club?
Partick Thistle.
Which club have the baldiest supporters according to a new report?
Rangers.
Which country has Aberdeen striker Duke moved to?
Spain.
In what year was the last time neither Rangers nor Celtic won Scotland's top flight?
Last year.
Who was the last Scottish player that Celtic signed?
Jota.
What was furthest away day Kilmarnock have to face in the Premiership? Okay. Okay.
That was a quick 30 seconds. I don't think David did enough.
He said that last night as well.
That was very quick. Rapid.
It is the same clock we've used for about a decade on this show.
Right, okay. I'm quite happy to go with that.
Same set of questions. Your time starts now. What squad number does Jota have at Celtic?
Seven.
Hamilton captain Scott Martin has gone to join which club?
Partick. Forgot. Pass.
Which club have the baldiest supporters according to a new report?
Kilmarnock.
What country has Aberdeen striker Duke moved to?
Spain.
In what year was the last time neither Rangers nor Celtic won Scotland's top flight?
Year? 82.
Who was the last Scottish player Celtic signed?
The last what?
Scottish player that Celtic
McCown.
Signed.
McCown.
Okay. What are you thinking, David?
Right,
he's beat me by one. Oh, I'd love to.
Jota's number seven. You both.
Ach, that's easy.
He's got it. Scott Martin. Are we giving him this?
No. Nah.
How? Oh, shut up, you. Hold on. What's your answer?
It's Partick this.
There you go, then. You always take my first answer. Ba-doom.
Partick. Pass.
He said Partick, I forgot.
Partick!
Well, that's what they're called.
No. Don't start. Don't start. You know I've been doing the weights. Yeah. You'll get one in your chin.
I agree. He's right. Gordon's right.
See, to be fair, David, because here's the way of the problem I've got. You know I love to rob him of stuff on this, but if it was the other way around, if he had said, pass, Partick, I wouldn't have given him it.
And I would totally agree with you.
No.
Shut up, Dave.
Terrible. Terrible.
Tuck your blanket in. You're gone for a sleep.
I'm still working, Gordon.
We'll get producer John to give us the final say, but I'm inclined to
what
give it.
What did Dave say?
He got it.
So Dave, did I?
I said
party. Shut up, Dave.
Right, two all. Let's wait and see. I saw this story last night. Which I must admit, I was going to say I want to know the level of research that goes in. I don't know if I do. I'm probably happy just to leave it. But what club have the baldiest supporters? It is Rangers, apparently. I genuinely don't know how. Or what.
Who actually put that question in? Get rid of
him, John. But it was
send him me Dave
it
to
was
work.
In the paper last night. I saw it doing the rounds. David knew it. Are you baldy, David?
No, I'm not. No,
you're I'm Rangers, in trouble
I'm
here.
I'm not baldy.
He's going bald.
I'll get you a hair transplant, Dave. Just come with me, two for one, mate.
Not to shoot down this clearly highly scientific piece of research, but when I then saw like the table, I think it was like 7% or whatever it was Rangers, and then like the next was 6% and 5, and I just thought
I'm not sure about that.
But it is a
okay, David. Well done, good answer.
David goes
3-2 up to you.
He goes one
that's
in front.
3-2, mate. 3-2, shut
David,
up.
I'm afraid.
Come on.
Producer John is the adjudicator. He says Gordon Dale's getting it.
Terrible, John.
Hold on, you're still winning. Shut up.
Duke has moved to Spain.
Yeah.
You both got it.
Oh, do you get that as well?
The last time neither Rangers or Celtic won Scotland's top flight, David, you said last season. Did I
picked up wrong.
It was 1985.
Oh, you're okay, David.
Okay.
Did he get McCown?
What are you one behind?
Yeah. I'm in trouble, am I?
No.
You said it was 4-2.
No.
4-2.
So they both got Jota, both got Partick Thistle. David went one in front with Rangers. So David stays one in front because you both got Duke. David's one in front. Okay.
Did David get a Duke?
Who was the last Scottish player Celtic men's team signed? You said Luke McCowan, Gordon, which is correct. David said Jota.
Jota! Get yourself up the road, wee guy.
You've equalised.
Oh, is that a tiebreaker?
No, because David got one more question.
Oh, no! Did he? That was a long 30 seconds.
David got one more question.
I didn't get it.
Let's see what the question is so we can judge if he got it or not.
What is the furthest away day that Kilmarnock have to face?
He's never got that. The Ross County, probably, isn't it?
It's Ross County.
He said Aberdeen.
David said Ross County.
Oh!
We have an old Gordon boy.
I'll get him a blanket, mate.
Oh, I cannot believe I get beat with him.
Yeah, but you don't mind. That's a good standard.
No,
he's fuming. Look at him.
I'm fuming because.
Oh, hold on a minute. I gave you Partick Thistle, so don't even.
Well, Partick
yeah,
was
backed
right,
up with
right.
that one.
But do you know something?
You can't cheat yourself.
David, shut it. Right, I've got to that clock. 30 seconds. Hold on. He got one more
fast.
Than me.
He was fast.
No, he wasn't.
You asked, do you know what I think your problem was? Maybe you, I had to repeat the Luke McCowan question for
and
you.
And the Partick one, he took a while.
Yeah, I had to repeat that. So.
I would have been a tiebreaker.
David, a crisp down for you.
As a Rangers fan, David, what number out of 10 would you give the transfer window? How do you feel
zero.
About it? Zero.
Terrible.
Was it?
Not one signing, but one signing on loan. Mm. Not good enough. Especially the money we spent going to Europa League.
Managed to free up Matondo, Dowell, wages. Clear mm-hmm. Marvin's been banging on about pathways, well seen he's a coach these days. There's a pathway now for Bailey, Rice, etc. You're not taking the positives?
No, but you're spending more experienced players, especially getting to Europe in the last 16.
Yeah, what did you make of Rangers' business last night? Did you expect something? It's difficult, this one, Gordon.
I expected something, but no, nothing. For nothing to happen, I think maybe one or two.
Yeah.
Where would you strengthen, David?
I would have spent it on the start of a defender and a midfielder. Oof.
A defender?
Right.
Did you expect? I mean, it's difficult because Patrick Stewart literally said Rangers would do one, maybe two. They brought Rafael Fernandez in and a pre-contract for Lyle Cameron. So, no surprises, but I also kind of get what David means. As a football fan, it's kind of the charm of deadline day. You sort of hope that there might just be something. Maybe Rangers brought in a bit more money than they expected from reaching the last 16, but then maybe that's offset by not having the playoff round to play and the money you can make from having another game. But you know what I mean? You still
right. I agree. I think
because Philippe Clement said he still felt it was kind of necessary to try.
Yeah,
he?
Every month, I'm
fed up of hearing that from
right.
you too.
It will be.
If people are specific about it, right. then
what I will say is, as much as I think Rangers could have probably strengthened, I think where a big plus is they get one or two big hitters off the wage bill. Now, I know that goes back to, well, they don't pick up the full wages, but at least they're getting a percentage of the wage going out to Ibrox, and it saves them some money. They've brought in a centre-half. They've got Suter back all over the pitch. They've got one or two injuries, if they can get that back. The Rangers fans, we're talking about young guys again. Rangers fans are excited with one or two of the youngsters coming through, getting a opportunity. The last 16 of Europe, yeah, I think they could have strengthened somewhere.
Because if we're talking about rating the window, John Suter returning from an injury he picked up in December doesn't really, it doesn't really come into that.
No, but I'm talking about positions, cover-wise, centre-backs.
Defender-wise.
Yeah, they've got Proper in there as well. Balogun will come back. You know, so if they get everybody fit, they've got good options in there. Up front, Dessers is hitting a bit of form. Again, they've got Tierney.
Is there a bit
Is Cortes?
Injured yet.
Is he still, yeah.
Is there a bit, we asked the kind of similar question with Celtic because they've got the lead. Is there a bit of, you're kind of just as well leaving it to next season now for Rangers? Is that maybe part of the thinking?
I think that's the position they found themselves in. I think if it had been a lot closer between the two teams, maybe they could have pushed the boat out and brought somebody in with the money that Gordon's talking about that came from the Europa League. But I don't think it made much sense for Rangers to do anything. I think they probably over budget in terms of where they are. They expected obviously to challenge Celtic. That's not going to happen in the league, regardless of what Celtic did this window with losing Kyogo, etc. It wasn't going to happen. So I think the sensible thing for Rangers, as frustrating as it might be for their supporters, was, you know, to cut the wage bill down a little bit, give young players an opportunity, like we're saying, and they've looked better for doing it, and see where they are then come the summer.
You're not having it, David? Can't even bump you up to a 1 or a 2 out of 10?
Nope.
David's not having it.
To be fair, David's got a signed ball, a box of crisps.
Oh, you got a box of crisps, David, for your packed lunch for work.
You on his mantelpiece. So.
What'd you do, David? What'd you do? What'd you work as?
A tyre fitter from the quality you're selling. Over the tyre fitter.
Oh, I'm going to come then. Let someone get a flatty.
A tyre fitter?
No problem, mate. Yeah.
Tire fitter,
commercial tyre fitter.
They
do trucks.
Oh, I do trucks. All right, see you later, what David. Hang up.
Because you've not got a truck.
I've not got a truck. David's no use to me whatsoever. All right, mate.
Listen, there we go.
I want to ask a question here, right? As much as I congratulate David tonight and beat the pundit, how did he get that Hamilton Party Thistle one? He doesn't sound like he knows.
But I'll tell you what, play it back, get the VAR, because that, he not only did he get it, it was proper quick.
How
as
did
well.
You know that, David?
I'm not
a
football Gordon.
Ah, you okay, David? Exactly. One swallow, innit?
Thank you, David. From Easterhouse, 01419511025. That is the number that you need. I actually don't think for once you can really complain, because I've even given you the benefit of the doubt in the Partick Thistle one.
Well, you always take the first answer. I say it's
exactly.
Partick.
But that's what I'm saying.
But I thought that you probably read the questions out a little bit quicker.
I think I thought he was slow today.
Did you, mate?
Yeah.
I picked that up as well.
Yeah.
Well, but you seem to do that when somebody gets a good score, because you don't want me to win, because you love going like that on a Thursday. Oh, percentages.
Yeah.
You're second bottom. Yeah. I've won about 15 games, right? Seeing points.
Oh, you're up there.
I'm gone. But
it's got to be percentage, hasn't it? Because you've...
Of course it does. I mean, obviously.
Nah, points, mate.
How beneficial do you think it would have been for you not to have needed the question repeated on Luke McEwen? I think that could have bought you some time.
Well, I'd have got Ross County, wouldn't I?
That's what I'm saying. So it's probably your mistake then.
It would have been an equaliser.
So, tough skill.
Don't get me wrong, I'm not good in the tie breaks. So, put the tie break and I'll give you the answer.
No, because we'll need the question tomorrow.
For a morning, anyway, hey, okay.
So can't be bothered with a new question. Just leave it. 0141 951 1025. I mean, Lyle Cameron is in a way a piece of deadline day business, but it's not until the summer. Was that a sensible one for you?
I think that's a really good signing. I really, really do. I've watched him play a few times for Dundee. You know, another bright young player coming through. You know, he's kind of done the rounds with Dundee. He's been a massive, important player for them. With McCowan going as well, he's taken up that kind of that responsibility. And, you know, to progress his career, decided to go to Rangers. So from Rangers' point of view, I think it's a really good one. We always speak about, you know, looking at the maybe smaller teams and cherry picking their better players, and they've done that. So, yeah, as like you said, it doesn't come until the summer. But I didn't expect Rangers, as I said earlier, to really sign anyone this window.
I mean, the last caller gave it a 0 out of 10, which is quite something. What about Graham on the other line? Graham, how would you rate Rangers' transfer window?
Good evening, panel. I wasn't too fussed about it. I wasn't like a dazzler sitting up there to leave in a cloak waiting for something to happen, and I knew it wasn't going to happen. Put it that way. It is what it is. Patrick Stewart said one or two in. We got one in. We got a signing for the summer. But it was a caller last night that really bugged me. He said he was basically guaranteed that Rangers was signing Lauren Shanklin last night and Desert would go out, which that would have been a disaster.
Yeah, it never happened, did it? And there was no movement of that drama. I wonder, right, if part of this, because let's lump them both together then, if it's Celtic or it's Rangers, part of this, the way that you take the window, the way that you feel coming out of it, is just really to do with what you were told or what you were expecting. Because like I said, seeing normal circumstances, Rangers are behind Celtic and they don't really make any moves to strengthen the squad and try and close the gap. On a normal set of circumstances, we're getting furious phone calls here. But Graham's saying, but no, this is what we expected.
Yeah,
we were told, and also the gap's so big that maybe it can't be breached. Flip that to Celtic, because although you guys are saying overall you think it's fine, Brendan Rodgers has sat time and time again and said, I want a striker. So at quarter to 11 last night, the Celtic fans expected a striker. So is it maybe that, is it sort of based on what you expect or what you're told? You can make your, Graham saying he's made his peace with it like weeks ago, basically.
Yeah, because their expectations were kind of, you know, Patrick Stewart said what was going to happen, and he's been kind of true to his word and saying we're only going to sign one or two, and they've got one in. And like you said, it's very, very different, because I think a lot of Celtic supporters, and rightfully so, when Kyogo goes, you do expect to bring in a centre forward. And I know I've banged on about Jota and how brilliant that signing has been. I do understand their point of view and thinking, right, we've lost our best centre forward, we will bring another one in. And like you said, they would have been waiting until 11 o'clock or 1 minute to 11 yesterday, and then it didn't happen. So there is going to be that little bit of frustration today. But listen, Celtic will be absolutely fine. They'll go on to win the league, and, you know, I expect them to go on to win the Scottish Cup as well. So domestically, does it make a massive difference for them? I don't think so.
I think that worked then, managing expectations from Patrick Stewart a couple of weeks ago.
I was just going to say that. I think from Rangers, I think that's good communication from the board, because days gone by, Gordon, we get and date it with calls here from Rangers fans, frustrated. We don't know anything that's happened in the club. We never hear anything that's coming out. What is going on inside the boardroom or whatever? Patrick Stewart came out in the January window, told the Rangers fans exactly what was going on, i.e. that's why Graham and probably many others like him are quite happy and content with what's happened. Yes, they would have liked a marquee signing. Everybody does. It's great. There's nothing better than that. But they realised, and I think Mar touched on a great point, Rangers are always spoken about financial situation. You know, they've just got to settle the ship. They've got a young player coming in as well. They're starting to look at these younger players. Jeffrey's getting linked with teams like Chelsea. Iggy Mann's a young player that's starting to really fulfil his potential, everything about him. They're going the right direction. It might take a bit of time, but I think it was good communication from Rangers last night.
You've both been through the positives there, Graham, you and Gordon. In the simplest sense of the transfer window, though, I suppose, you've not necessarily come out of it stronger than you went in. Is there any part of you that's annoyed at that?
Not really, Gordon, because this group of players has got to the last 16 a European competition again. So there is a team there. We've just got to manage it week to week and the bread and butter stuff, but there is a team there.
Yeah, but that's not a small insignificant thing, isn't it? Because it's not that Graham's right, but for the praise you get for getting to the last 16 of Europe, you have to have it mentioned that potentially tomorrow night it's 13 points adrift in the league.
But I don't think whoever they brought in during this window was going to, you know, make them win this league title, because I believe it's over. No matter who Rangers would have signed, and it would have been another gamble to bring somebody else in, you know, pay a lot of money for them. And we've seen Rangers do that before and it not work out. So I wasn't at all surprised at that. Like, you know, Graham's saying there is a team there, you know, into the last 16, finishing in the top eight in Europa League was a great, great, great achievement. And the players that are currently within that building have been a part of that. You know, Dow going out on loan, get rid of his wages or a percentage of his wages because he wasn't doing anything for Rangers. You know, he was blocking the pathways. We talk about Bailey Rice and players like that. No need for him to be there. So I think they've streamlined the squad. And I think that can definitely be a positive for Rangers.
Come on then. Thank you to Graham. It's 0141 951 1025. And we'll take more of your calls next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Head to @ClydeSSB on X now. Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Marvin Bartley and Gordon DL are here still reeling from his Beat the Pundit defeat. But these things happen, I suppose. These
narrow
things happen.
Defeat.
Try to think. I can't even imagine what that's going to do for the percentages.
Oh, here we go.
I don't know. I can't figure it out, but I know it's not good. I know it's no good news.
Here's your percentages, right? You play one game, you're 100%. You're above everybody. Is that fair?
No, it's
Andy's
not. And you know, Ross McCormack was top after one game.
There you go.
Even though he lost.
No, but he lost the game. And producer John told me thought he'd won it, didn't he? And put him at the top.
I know it doesn't look good for you because you were on 68%.
Well, that's low.
What do you mean that's low? Right, tell him many played and won.
You've played 19 games.
And many won.
Right, but listen to this. Beautiful. Here's something for you, Mr. Arithmetic.
Right.
You've played 19, right? How many shows a week do you do?
Two.
Marvin, how many shows a week do you do?
One.
You've played 14.
Oh, wow.
There you go. So it should be 3 points.
Right. No. So you should have played double the amount.
Yeah,
how many
exactly.
One.
I don't think you want the answer to that question.
There you go.
No, I'm saying I don't think you want the answer.
I'm above you.
Of course it's much closer than he's above you. I've had a message in actually for you and it has been out the corner of my eye, really putting me off all night. But I thought I would just leave it, but I've now had a message in about it as well. So I
good
might as well.
Bad.
The Tunnel Podcast says, Daz looks different tonight and we can't put our finger on it. Is it an eyebrow tint? Something is just off.
Who's it? What podcast's that?
The Tunnel. I do think the Botox has really kicked in, hasn't it?
No, that's just muscle. That's just the new
that's
me.
Just muscle.
New shape. It's a new shape.
It's your face I'm talking about.
Oh, my face? No, I've still got the big nose.
I mean, that would take empowering, more, man. But there is something. And look at him. There is something going on with his cheeks.
No,
they don't move.
Yeah. What do you mean?
He's
don't
trying
move?
To smile just now, and he can't.
I can laugh away.
Is it so?
What sure? What a dog!
It is really kicked.
I'll tell you what. If they're already in here, I'm stuffed here. I'm not getting out.
Incredible.
Looking good, but
yeah,
a big man.
10 out of 10.
You come in, said, look at you.
You do look different now. It's the first time I've really noticed
shape and everything. Yeah,
it's a gym
for the
work compliment. That you're doing now.
Thanks, mate.
Do you know what? Working actually, hard. See, when I came in, he was to carry on because he is on a health kick from Fair Play to him. He's giving it a good go, right? He was eating a protein yogurt, okay? Mm. What flavour? Must have been vanilla.
Yeah.
Right? When I walked out the office, he had it all around his lips, right? So, hold on. Do you know what? It was the exact image of, he won't get this, he doesn't spend enough time online. You know that meme where the old guy drinks the the old guy accidentally drinks the
I'm glad you are finding this amusing.
Honestly,
right,
somebody send me the picture.
I did not have it.
It was
you need to see it. I'm sure you see the picture.
See, when you see the picture, you'll know what I mean. You had the white yolk.
That was delightful, let me tell you.
Where find it? Where's the guy? Search for old man drinks paint.
Is the yogurt nice?
Oh, beautiful. Beautiful. Anyway. It's part of my 13 thing with protein.
13 grams.
13 grams, mate.
13? Yeah, what do you mean 13 grams?
We've got to train together, haven't we?
What do you mean 13 grams?
Of protein.
A day?
No, I'm eating 198 grams of protein a day.
Anyway, do you want your full-time teaser?
Yeah, please.
Right. Six players, Jamie Hendry sent it in, six players have been in a World Cup final squad since 1998 and they've played in the Scottish top flight. Who are they? So six players in a World Cup final Canidia. Squad and have played in the top Canidia. Flight in Scotland. No.
Ravenelli.
No.
What?
Oh, just accept
six
my
players
answer.
In a World Cup
final squad since 98 final. Though. Since 98.
98, right, okay. 2000 was the wee guy up front for Rangers.
Eh?
Did what? He play with Rangers? Am I in the right?
I don't know what's going on. There wasn't even a World Cup in 2000, so I don't know what to say to you.
I was thinking, there's World Cup 98 and then 2002.
And 6 and 10 and et cetera.
Yeah. But he played in that era.
Is Van Bronckhorst on there?
Yes, well done, Martin.
Who?
Bringing
Van
some
Bronckhorst.
Sense. Giovanni Van Bronckhorst.
Right, okay.
The 2010 Netherlands v Spain.
De Boer.
Final. Nope.
Loudrup.
No, when was Loudrup in the World Cup final?
I could have been. He was a good player, wasn't he?
98.
Final. Oh, Catuso.
Yes, 2006, the old Zidane headbutt.
I would come back.
Okay, right, that's two. You're getting there. Fulltime at Clyde1.com is the address.
Alves. Bruno
no,
Alves.
No, I love it when you shout and it's wrong. let's bring in Craig, who's on the line. How are you, Craig?
I'm not too bad. How yourself?
Did producer John put you up to this?
No.
Because as soon as I see the word Falkirk flash up on my screen, I think it's something to do with him. But it is that big a signing, isn't it? I thought we might get some interest in this Scott Arfield business. You happy?
Yeah, just obviously, yeah, I'm really happy. I was up until like refreshing the page at my phone every 5 minutes last night to see what go through. Because you're like interest from another club as well. So we're hoping it would be guys who would come to. I think with that sound could potentially win us a league this year.
Think he'll still do a turn, Craig. Obviously he's advancing in years, but with all that experience and stuff, you think he'll do a good turn?
I think he will. He's got he'll be the most experienced player in the league. So and he knows what the club means to the fans as well. So I think he'll wear the shirt of pride in that as well.
You impressed with that
signing? Great signing.
You've always loved him, actually. I forgot about that.
He was my favourite player. Honestly, and still is now. I'm going to hope Falkirk go up with there in the championship.
Good save.
And Raith Rovers just missing out in the playoffs. But I think it's a great signing. I think he brings experience. I think he brings great professionalism. I think that's what he's all about. I think he'd be great in the dressing room. We know he loves a bit of the guitar and a sing-song. I think that's all part of it. Harmony.
Is it?
Yeah, of course it is. Marv will tell you.
Yeah,
a good dressing room is a good team.
Yeah. I think it's a massive signing for them. Like Craig's saying there, a real leader, you know, a real good guy. And the thing is, he can still play, or could play above that level, I believe, without being disrespectful to the championship. So, yeah, it's a massive coup for Falkirk. And, you know, if it wasn't been the place where he'd started, they'd had no chance in signing him. But, you know, they've had a really good window. I think Graham's came back in as well, hasn't he, from Dundee.
Yep.
And Miller Thompson, was that his name?
Yep.
Came in
Dundee
from
United.
Dundee United as well, who's played quite a few games for Dundee United as well and looked really promising. So I think Falkirk in a really strong position now, game in hand, you know, sitting right up there at the top of the league. So yeah, it'll be a big end to the season for them.
Craig, I take it you've got memories of Scott Arfield the first time. How nice is that side of it, that kind of fairy tale bit about, you know, young guy starts his career there, goes and does so well and then comes back?
See, that's the thing. So he's always said he always wanted to come back to the club and hopefully get another year in him after this season, and if they get up, well, hopefully we can do well. And see as well, I don't think the Mr. Morrison's going away doesn't like is it time is because the money we've got for Morrison, it comes to the back into the playing budget as well. Mm-hmm. So
they've supported the manager, haven't they? They've really supported the manager because he had a great start to this season.
You would have seen him on Sunday night against Livingston, Marvin.
Yeah.
You were on telly.
Yeah.
It was rubbish, wasn't he?
It was like a rubbish first half. And then we got a penalty. And we started that. We couldn't just put him down. But must say, Livingston are just like time wasters as well. Every time a player went down, they would just go down.
Got to play the game, mate.
That's your coaching.
Yeah, got to play the
coaching
game.
Coaching's still there. You left out of them.
That's the experience of in their team. Like you said, I said it before the game. You know, Falkirk for me, in terms of you go out and play a game of football, you know, Falkirk are probably the best team in terms of the way they played, the way they moved about, especially the earlier one in the season. Obviously, it was slightly different on Friday, but Livingston have that experience and that know-how, just know how to win games. And you know, hopefully it means that they can go on to now win the league as well. And, you know, you guys can enjoy the playoffs.
Do you think that comes at a nice time then? Do you think, you know, if there has been signs in the last few, well, they're not top anymore. Mm-hmm. So there have been signs clearly that it's going to be a challenge. You know, Scott Arfield signing, the other signings that you mentioned, does that swing anything back in Falkirk's favour for you?
For them, it's the perfect timing. They did look on Friday. I've actually seen them twice in the last like 3 weeks. They lost to Rafe in the cup as well. And it just looked to me that they needed something fresh. They needed maybe some new faces in there, you know, slightly different players, and they've managed to do that. So yeah, in terms of timing, Gordon, you're bang on with that. Because I think it's the first time probably in the last 18 months that they've had a bit of a stutter. So, you know, so how they come out the other side of this, and someone with Scott Arfield's experience, I'm sure they'll get in that dressing room straight away and, you know, be able to improve that team and improve them off the pitch as well.
Do you think you'll win it, Craig? Will you win the championship?
Well, I'd give it a 90% chance of winning it, but obviously we'll need to win Saturday against Sittle, and then obviously the big one against the week after as well. So if we can win the two games, it'll be 5 points.
It's a good league, yeah. I don't think it gets enough praise. I think there's quality in there. I think there's good managers, young managers as well, very good players. And if you watch the games, and usually watch on a Friday night, some entertaining games and good football. I think Arfield's a great signing.
It's a very interesting signing as well. That's always, you know, from the outside, those ones you look for. Just ones that the neutral kind of goes, oh, that's an interesting one. And I think that was definitely one of them. He's obviously well known for what he's done down in England, up here at Rangers. And it's a good story, I think, when he started at Falkirk as well. So we'd wish him well. Thank you to Craig, the Falkirk fan. I think I've got a picture of the meme man.
See this isn't flat.
Of you. There it is behind you. That was you when I came into this studio. You had vanilla yogurt all around your face.
He looks better than me. He looks younger.
He's got the Botox as well, man.
Big guy.
Loads of people sent that in. Adam Colville.
Thanks a lot, boys.
Adam Colville, not Matondo. I was quickly looking for it as well, and I found that the gentleman sadly passed away now, I'm afraid. So I didn't know that. His spirit lives on this show, because when you were on that couch with your vanilla protein yogurt,
it's not. You're
that's what you
looked
like when I walked in. There we go. Brilliant.
Oh,
anyway,
class.
Anything else out there that you want to share with us? Some signings, please get your thoughts in. We're still asking for as many of you as possible to rate your transfer window. What would you go on in your own team, Gordon DL? So you say, how do you get a grip on Motherwell's transfer business? Has it been good?
Well, it's needs must, because they've got so many injuries. Obviously, the goalkeeping situation is incredible. How many goalkeepers is that they brought in? They brought in a goalkeeper in the window, and they've just brought in another goalkeeper as well.
They've had to bring in two in the window.
They've got 11 centre forwards. They've got 33 a squad. All credit, because as much as people say, I can't believe Motherwell run my squad like that, you've got to understand the situation in the background. The injuries they've got to key players is unreal, right? It's a freak situation at Motherwell just now. The amount of players that would play in their first team week in, week out, injured. Their best player, the guy who was the captain, has been injured as well. That's the biggest blow. McGinn's injured, the goalkeeper situation, you know, they've got centre forwards there injured. Look, all credit mm-hmm. to everyone concerned, I'll be behind the scenes, because they've, instead of saying we need to rid of all these players and leave them with a skeleton squad with injuries, they've tried to boost it
having said that, Marvin, and I'm sure it wasn't through lack of trying, you know, similar to what we said about Celtic, they must have tried to move some of them out.
Yeah.
Because nobody wants a squad of 33.
No, it's far too many.
Andy was kind of joking the other night about, Roger was saying to him about, you know, where do you change? How do you change and training and number? So sometimes there is such a thing as too many, isn't there? But again, it depends when injuries are back and so on.
That's the thing, like you said, doing training sessions with, you know, that amount of players is just not possible. I know you said there's a lot of injuries now, but when boys begin to come back, you've got 25, 26 players. Even to do an 11v11, you've got, you know, four boys on the side doing absolutely nothing. So it becomes really, really difficult. Keeping everybody engaged as well. You know you're not going to get in the squad at the weekend. Makes it hard. But yeah, I'm sure they would have tried that. But when you're paying somebody's wages, if, you know, another team aren't going to match that or give enough towards it, then you're better off keeping them, you know, within there.
Obviously, yeah, but the biggest problem, sorry, Mark, biggest problem, I totally agree with what you're saying about trying to get, of course, they'll need to unload.
Mm-hmm.
They've not got a manager just now. Right, yeah. All of a sudden the manager could come into the building probably in the next week, right, and sit down and say, you unloaded four players there that could have done me a real turn. I've looked at your squad. Any potential manager right now going into Motherwell will know everything about their squad.
Yeah.
So to be fair to Motherwell, they've probably given the new manager coming in every opportunity between now and the end of the season to decide who he wants to keep, and then they'll try and move them on.
Okay, how are you doing on this teaser? Can you name six players who've been in the squad for a World Cup final since 98 and they've played in the Scottish top flight? Gattuso and Van Bronckhorst.
Janinho,
yes.
Oh, right. Good shout.
Fiali. That's the one I wanted. Dundee, was it not?
No.
What'd you call him? The... Ravanelli.
You said him earlier. Still
him
a no.
Again then.
No.
Him twice.
Anyway, we'll get the rest of the answers next. Clyde One Super Scoreboards. Watch as well as listen. Check out our YouTube stream now.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon Dalziel and Marvin Bartley are here on 0141 951 1025, or Twitter if you want to join in at Clyde SSB. Big thank you to Jamie Hendry for sending this question in, fulltime@clyde1.com on the email, remember. So it's six players that have been in a World Cup final squad since 98 and they've played in the Scottish top flight. Janinho, Gattuso, Van Bronckhorst. Three down, three to go.
They must be the goalkeeper? Always goalkeeper.
Yes, actually, there is.
Right, we're looking at France. French, Brazilian, Italian, Argentinian. What'd you call the boy who played with Rangers? Goalkeeper, French.
He doesn't know anyone before 2015, remember that?
I'm on the right road here. French goalkeeper.
I'm pretending that he doesn't already know. Someone's told him. I can see him walking up to it.
It puts him out of misery.
Is it Cherboni?
Oh,
it's Cherboni.
Oh, he's at it.
That's incredible.
There you go. Ruin the goalkeeper. Wait for
take
a fan.
That wee man.
He can do it without the melodrama.
Oh, yeah, he's at it.
Absolutely at it. Oh, well, your own
nobody
teammate,
told me that.
Your own teammate's telling you
what
you're
a
at
guy.
It.
No, I'm not. Ruin the goalkeeper. Take it easy.
He actually thinks that's not obvious.
That's a VAR with that.
Stevie's in Motherwell. How's it going, Stevie?
Not bad, Gordon. How are you?
Not bad, thank you. What have you got for us in terms of this transfer window then, deadline day?
So, I'm a first-time caller. Played Beat the Pundit years ago with Hugh, but the two guys sitting to the right of you, or left of you, I've got my eye right, Gordon, I must say.
Just by their general demeanour or something that they said?
So I'll give Dalziel a positive. My missus absolutely loves him for some reason. I don't know why, but...
Do not respond to that. Honest, just please don't.
You said, for mother, well, I've no far to travel. No need much expenses, eh?
Stop, Stevie. Just...
But the negatives, well, you can laugh for now, but you'll not be laughing in a minute, Gordon.
Oh, go for it, Stevie.
So you're totally sympathising with the Celtic board here. I mean, I've spent nearly £50, right, on a Bayern Munich ticket, and it's basically a glorified, expensive friendly. There's no ambition for the board at all. Do you know what I mean? It's an absolute joke. So the guys that were saying it's a 2 out of 10 try, I totally agree with that. I love Jota. Schlupp will do a job, but in terms of losing Kyogo and not replacing him, I think Gordon Duncan hit the nail on the head earlier on. It's an absolute joke. It really is.
Oh, I didn't call it a joke, but I just like to argue with these two when they were, because they were both in the same team. I'm then obliged to take the opposite team. Do you get that side of it, Gordon, this notion that if you're a Celtic fan and you're pumping money in, you want to see a deal
Gordon,
done?
Gordon, I said about 2 weeks ago before all this happened, right, that I wouldn't let Kyogo out of the building, right? But I didn't understand what the situation was until Celtic come out, Brendan Rodgers come out and explained that Kyogo doesn't want to be there. Of course, for Celtic fans, it's a massive loss. And added to that, they've got Bayern Munich. And you're thinking, right, okay, Kyogo and a Celtic trip, yes, we'll have the argument, we'll give you a better chance of beating Bayern Munich. Will he beat Bayern Munich? Look, nothing's impossible, especially with a Celtic team. I think Celtic on their game can give anybody a fright, without a shadow of a doubt. They've got that quality in them. I don't think they'll beat Bayern Munich over the two legs, but I still think they would give them certainly a game. I totally understand, take on board, but I only say the fact that there's a lot of positives there as well. We get back to the old nonsense. Jota, Tierney, 25 million, 25 million, get them back for 8 million. Great business. Absolutely great business. Schmeichel has been magnificent since he come up here. Extended contract. They brought a cover in for the left back position. So all over the park, they're very, very strong. They're very well covered with good quality. The biggest problem is the one player. That's it.
I think the fairest point you've
made, and I take on board what Stevie's saying. He pays his money, I don't.
I think the fairest point you've made, centre around Ida, he'll play there in Maeda, etc. I don't think Celtic fans are bothered. Not that they're not bothered, but I don't think their assessment of how the window was is impacted by Kasper Schmeichel's new contract.
No, but I think
could have been signed outside the window. It could have been signed at any
point. I know, but you've got to add everything together. And here's something, right? We don't know, because we're not privileged to this. We hear Brendan Rodgers putting wee snippets out there, right? How close were Celtic to bringing in that quality striker? You hear the praise that Brendan Rodgers, the Celtic manager, gives on Maeda as a centre forward. So the guy that they're going to bring in has to be better than that.
Yeah. What do you think, Stevie?
I mean, I would have took even somebody like Simon Murray just for 6 months. Anything at all. Anything's better than nothing, Gordon.
Okay. Stevie, just on that point then, you say to Simon Murray, you'd have brought him in. And what number would you put him in the pecking order for strikers at Celtic if you brought in Simon Murray? So who'd have been number one striker with Simon Murray in the building?
Oh, it would still be Adam Ida, but then, he would be number two. Me, they would be on the left.
So where's Jota playing?
Jota, well, we're still trying to get match fit, so you're talking another 6 to 8 weeks before he's up and running. That's nearly at the end of the season. So
he'll play against Bayern Munich, mate.
Well, he'll need to, because we don't have another...
It's not going to take somebody like Jota up to 6 to 8 weeks to go up and running. He'll play probably tomorrow night. He'll get a part of the game against Raith Rovers. He'll be into the Bayern Munich games. Jota will be up and running in the next 2 or 3 weeks, guaranteed.
So, Stevie, you wouldn't have had a problem at all if Celtic had brought in Simon Murray, Jota's on the bench, so's Simon Murray. They bring on Simon Murray up front before they bring on Jota on the left.
It's just the rotations, Marv. Do you know what I mean? We had the rotations, and now we've left ourselves wide open for criticism. And I actually felt sorry for Brendan Rodgers today. And I wouldn't be surprised if he walked, to be honest, again.
The only thing I will say, Stevie, look, no wonder your missus loves me, because Simon Murray, come on. Come on,
he's
mate.
My friend
for
as well.
6 months.
Come on, I don't count.
He wouldn't start a game for Celtic.
No disrespect. Simon Murray for Dundee is brilliant. I love him up there. For Celtic Football Club, 6 months.
Oh, serious when you had football club, isn't it?
Come on, mate.
That's when
you know you're honestly,
it gets serious.
It's not happening.
Right, we'll agree to disagree. Thank you to Stevie and Motherwell. 01419511025 is the number that you need. So the Air United manager, Scott Brown, has ruled himself out of the vacant Motherwell job.
No surprise.
Can you see that? You surprised? Surprise. Not, no.
Why would you not?
Because we spoke about this last time, didn't we, on the show, when it happened and Scott Brown, and I said, Air United, he's been down at Fleetwood.
Mm-hmm.
He left, ended up leaving Fleetwood. Air United have given him a chance, a club that are going in the right direction, just got planning permission for a new training ground. They're very well backed in terms of building the squad. Now, why would you then go from there to Motherwell and put yourself in potentially a position where come into the season, you've not done well and they want to get rid of you? He's worshipped by the board at Air United and the chairman, and he's been given everything that he's asked for so far.
I'm not going to go against that, but I just think you've got to look at Motherwell, probably bigger club, Premier League status. They're in there yet.
Okay, let's finish off. The six players in a World Cup final squad since 98. They've played in Scotland's top flight. Charbonnier, Janinho, Gattuso, Van Bronckhorst.
Simon Murray?
Nope.
He will next year.
The most recent one was part of the Netherlands squad in 2010.
Van Dijk?
No.
I don't know.
He's a former teammate of Mark Wilson's. Mark doesn't speak too highly of him, if that helps you out.
Dutch fullback. Who's the Dutch fullback? I don't know.
Edson Braafheid.
I would never get that.
You don't remember him?
No.
Mark, you don't listen to Mark, do
no,
you?
I do, no.
He
no,
slaughters
no,
him all the time.
Nobody listens.
And what about a striker, French, 98?
Oh, Stefan Gurev. I can't pronounce it.
That's Gurev, because somebody's texted him and he doesn't know how to read it out.
I don't. I thought it's in there. I know him. What's it?
Givage.
Who did he play for?
Rangers centre forward.
Thank you very much to Marvin Bartley and to Gordon Diel, and to you, more importantly, by a distance. Thanks for calling and tweeting and listening or watching. Make sure you keep liking, subscribing to the YouTube channel. If you're into the live stream, you can get the podcast wherever you get your podcasts. As Gordon Diel walks in front of the camera, we're back at six tomorrow.